know you're awake. Come on now, it's time to get up. He opened his eyes with a false weariness. Zoralundra was there, in a bright blue circular room, with lots of large couches set into alcoves in the blue material. Above hung a white sky with black clouds. It was very bright in the room. He shielded his eyes and looked at the Adiran. "What happened to the command system?" he said, looking around the circular blue room.
"That dream is over now. You did well. Passed with flying colours. The Academy and I are very pleased with you."
He couldn't help but feel pleased. A warm glow seemed to envelop him, and he couldn't stop a smile appearing on his face. "Thanks," he said. The Quirl nodded.
"You did very well as Borohosa Gobachul," Zoralundra said in his rumbling great voice. "Now you should take some time off and go and play with Girashel."
He was swinging his feet off the bed, getting ready to jump down to the floor when Zoralundra said that. He smiled at the old Quirl. "Who?" he laughed.
"Your friend, Girashel,"
the Adiran said. "You mean Kirakel?" He laughed, shaking his head. Zoralundra must be getting old.
"I mean Girashel,"
the Adiran insisted coldly, stepping back and looking at him strangely.
"Who is Girashel?"
"You mean you don't know? But how could you get her name wrong?" he said, shaking his head again at the Quirl's foolishness. Or was this still part of some test?
"Just a moment," Zoralundra said.
He looked at something in his hand which threw coloured lights across his broad, gleaming face. Then he slapped his other hand to his mouth, an expression of astonished surprise on his face, as he turned to him and said,
"Oh, sorry,"
and suddenly reached over and shoved him back into the... He sat upright. Something whined in his ear. He sat back down again slowly, looking round in the grainy darkness to see if any of the others had noticed. But they were all still. He told the remote sensor alarm to switch off. The whine in his ear faded. Unaha Klosp's casing could be seen high on the far gantry. Horza opened his visor and wiped some sweat from his nose and brows. The drone had no doubt seen him each time he woke up. He wondered what it was thinking now, what it thought of him. Could it see well enough to know that he was having nightmares? Could it see through his visor to his face, or sense the small twitches his body made while his brain constructed its own images from the debris of all his days? He could blank the visor out. He could set the suit to expand and lock rigid. He thought about how he must look to it. A small, soft, naked thing writhing in a hard cocoon, convulsed with illusions in its coma. He decided to stay awake until the others started to rise. The night passed, and the Free Company awoke to darkness and the labyrinth. The drone said nothing about seeing him wake up during the night, and he didn't ask it. He was falsely jolly and hearty, going round the others laughing and slapping backs, telling them they'd get to Station 7 today, and there they could turn on the lights and get the transit tubes working. "Tell you what, Wobslin," he said, grinning at the engineer as he rubbed his eyes, "we'll see if we can get one of those big trains working, just for the hell of it."
"Well," Wobslin yawned, "if that's all right."
"Why not?" Horza said, spreading his arms out. "I think Mr. Adequate's leaving us to it. He's turning a blind eye to this whole thing. We'll get one of those super trains running, eh?" Wobslin stretched, smiling and nodding.
"Well, yeah, sounds like a good idea to me."
Horza smiled widely, winked at Wobslin, and went to release Belveda. It was like going to release a wild animal, he thought, as he shifted the empty cable drum he had used to block the door. He half expected to find Belveda gone, miraculously escaped from her bonds and disappeared from the room without opening the door. But when he looked in, there she was, lying calmly in her warm clothes, the harness making troughs in the fur of the jacket and still attached to the wall Horza had fixed it to.
"Good morning, Perestek," he said breezily.
"Horza,"
the woman said grumpily, sitting slowly upright, flexing her shoulders and arcing her neck.
20 years at my mother's side. More than I care to think of as a gay and dashing young blade indulging in all the pleasures the culture has ever produced. 1 or 2 of maturity. 17 in contact and 4 in special circumstances have not made me pleasant to know or quick to wake in the mornings. You wouldn't have some water to drink, would you? I've slept too long. I wasn't comfortable. It's cold and dark. I had nightmares I thought were really horrible until I woke up and remembered what reality was like at the moment. And I mentioned water a moment or two ago. Did you hear? Or aren't I allowed any?
I'll get you some, he said, going back to the door. He stopped there. You're right, by the way. You are pretty off-putting in the morning. Belveda shook her head in the darkness.
She put one finger in her mouth and rubbed it around on one side as though massaging her gums or cleaning her teeth. Then she just sat with her head between her knees, staring at the jet-black nothing of the cold rock floor beneath her, wondering if this was the day she died.